isolated thunderstorm later on this afternoon or tonight, but the chances are very small. In fact, even tomorrow, there'll be some widely scattered storms around, but a lot of towns will stay dry. A breezy, warm day tomorrow. Saturday's high around 83. Scattered thunderstorms Saturday night and in through the overnight hours. Then a risk of severe weather beginning early on Sunday. In fact, maybe even pre-dawn in the western counties and spreading eastward through the morning and the afternoon hours with damaging wind gusts and the threat of tornadoes as well. Please get our weather app on your phone or tablet now. It's going to be your best friend. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Instant push notifications for severe weather alerts and advanced interactive radar as well. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Can you imagine a checking account which saves you money, even earns you money? At Prime South Bank, you'll find just that. A checking account with no monthly fees, which earns interest on larger deposits and can automatically put money into your savings account. Now that's an account worth switching for. Prime South Bank, with locations in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Troy police are investigating a double shooting last night. This happened in the 600 block of North 3 Notch Street. Police say one of the victims was taken to a Montgomery hospital with life-threatening injuries. Right now, no arrests have been made. One person is dead and another has critical injuries after a double stabbing in Macon County. The Macon County Sheriff says this happened Wednesday night near Notasulga. One person has been arrested, but their name has not been released. And the Alabama House of Representatives has passed the Anti-Road Rage Act. The bill says drivers could be ticketed for driving more than a mile and a half in the left lane without passing another car. The bill now moves to the Alabama Senate for debate. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Hey, River Region, Dave Ramsey here. We all want a good-looking yard, right? Unfortunately, not everyone can afford to hire professional landscapers. But there are some great ways to do it yourself, save lots of cash, and have a yard you love that adds value to your home. I'm talking about going to see the experts at Southern Homes and Gardens right here in Montgomery. Southern Homes and Gardens can help you add curb appeal to your tired yard, make over your backyard, or upgrade your outdoor furniture at unbelievable prices. And if they grow the plants, you don't pay tax. How about that for value? You're saving 10% right off the top. Folks, sticking to a budget doesn't mean you should settle for no curb appeal. Give Southern Home and Garden a call today. 334-387-0440. That's 334-387-0440. Or visit southernhomesandgardens.com and tell them Dave sent you. Call 334-387-0440.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Assange was removed from the Ecuadorian embassy, where he'd been holed up for 7 years. The Ecuadorians, who'd apparently had enough, invited police in to arrest him.
White House officials have tried to pressure U.S. immigration authorities to release detainees onto the streets of sanctuary cities to retaliate against President Trump's political adversaries.
Winter weather blasting millions of people in the middle of the country.
Some areas are expected to see more than 2 feet of snow.
Authorities making an arrest in a series of fires at historic black churches in southern Louisiana.
Former President Obama's first White House counsel was indicted in a case that grew out of the Mueller investigation.
There are sweeping new charges against the lawyer who took on President Trump. Michael Avenatti is now accused of stealing millions from his own clients.
Bloomberg reports Amazon is listening to what you tell Alexa.
Dozens of the company's employees are studying your conversations.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday. Being a Friday, that means it's Legislative Roundtable Day. We have one half of the duo. Let's bring in Senator Clyde Chambliss. We'll just mute, she said, is tied up at work.
Yeah, he was. He texted me a few minutes ago, and he's tied up. You know, a lot of people forget that we have jobs and that sort of thing.
Actual jobs.
Actual jobs, and that happens from time to time. But Will's doing a good job. I've really got to enjoy getting to know Will over the last several months, and he's in, and he's really doing his homework and research, and he's doing a good job.
I was really looking forward to meeting him. Maybe he can come in a little bit later.
Yeah,
or
hopefully he'll be able to get freed up and get here.
Because I hear really good things about him. Let's talk about the session, and let's start with the budget. Tell me how you feel about the budget that came out of the House.
Well, I'm not definitive on it right now because obviously it's in the House and I haven't studied it in detail. I have asked for a printed copy of the budget and the spreadsheet that I will get Monday. I was hoping to get it today so that I could review it.
Working it during the weekend?
Well, I've got several other things to read this weekend, including the finishing of the Department of Justice report, the ethics bill. So I got plenty to do this weekend, but I don't expect we will jump into the budget next week. I imagine it'll be a week or so before we get into it.
From what you've seen, though, because I had Mike Holmes on last Friday, he said that there really wasn't. It wasn't that far off from the governor's original proposal.
Okay. Well, that's what I've heard as well, and I did review the governor's original proposal. When it starts making changes in the other body, I usually don't track that as much because I got so much other going on. But then when I get the engrossed version, then I'll get into it. If it hasn't changed very much, I think it was the governor's proposal was a very sound budget, fiscally sound. Increased corrections, I believe, by $40 million. For 500 new wardens, several of the other departments were increased. I'm thinking DHR.
And Aaliyah was one.
Aaliyah was one, I think, by maybe $8 million. So anyway, it's been a week or two since I've looked at that, so those numbers aren't as fresh on my mind. But I do remember it being a sound budget, and I know this is the second year that the governor has and her staff has sat down and worked with the legislature, both bodies, before she throws the bill out there, and that is always a positive thing when you can work out a lot of those differences sitting around the table instead of through amendments. That gets kind of a little bit harder.
Tell me, where are we on the lottery, and what's your feeling on it?
The lottery, there's, I think, a total of three different plans out there, and I don't know the ins and outs and intricacies of all of them. We're going to have a meeting this week that I will learn, more of those details. Those details will be presented to us. McClendon's bill, I think, is it was the first one that was presented.
And it had video lottery.
It includes the video lottery terminals, and that's problematic for a lot of people. Then Albritton's introduced a bill, and it's more of just a paper lottery. The different paper ways to do it. It doesn't get into the electronics. So then there's obviously a class or a group of people that really like that. And then the third one, I don't know what it's going to be yet and what variation.
I was not even aware of a third one. I just knew about those two. Let me do this. Let me play a story on the no left-hand lane driving in Alabama and this piece of legislation coming out of the House.
One bill is making traction in the State House, and lawmakers say it will help people stay calm on the roads. Political reporter Lydia Nussbaum joins us right now. And Lydia, tell us how this proposed bill is expected to help.
Well, Val, we all know what it's like to drive behind a slow driver, especially in the left-hand lane. And lawmakers are saying they hope this bill will help keep those slow drivers.
Was that me?
It's just hanging up.
And they'll pull it, run into medians, hit guardrails, different things that are never showed as road rage, but actually the road rage is what caused the accident.
Representative Pettis hopes his bill helps calm people down on the roads. It makes it illegal to drive in the left lane longer than 1.5 miles.
People get ill when they come up behind people driving slow in the left lane and they want to get by. Interstates were set up for the movement of traffic. This will make interstate traffic move better.
And if you're caught, it would be a misdemeanor, like a speeding ticket. But there's an exception if you're driving in backed up traffic, in construction zones, or passing another vehicle.
Maybe we can do some positive things with this.
I hope so.
And I hope so, because
It's time for us to come into the 21st century.
The bill passed the House, but it did not come without questions and some pushback.
No state trooper is going to ride around to try to see if they're following somebody for 1.5 miles to regulate this bill.
It now heads to the Senate. The bill sponsor tells me that the Alabama Department of Transportation is going to put up signs warning people and letting people know about this law if it does become law, that is. There is no enforcement in the bill for the department to do that, but the bill sponsor says ALDOT has ensured them he will.
I have a right!
That was Gavin a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Out there. So, what do you think about that?
Well, Representative Pettis approached me a few minutes after he passed it on the House floor and asked me to carry it in the Senate. And the reason he did is because this is something that I had talked about before and with him and have an interest in. So I will carry it in the Senate. I am, you know, as an engineer, you look at different things and we classify roads and by level of service A, B, C, and D. And there's a lot of things that goes into that. But The level of service of the road is, dropped because of this congestion. And if people will drive in the right lane like they're supposed to and will use the left lane for passing or the faster speed, then our level of service is actually better, meaning that we won't have to add a third lane quite as fast, and that can be put off in the future. So I'm supportive of it. The way the bill is written, it says that upon any interstate highway, and I don't know that that was brought out in the news story or either I missed it, upon any interstate highway except as provided in Section 2, a vehicle may not remain in the leftmost lane for more than 1.5 miles without completely passing another vehicle. So the purpose is, out in the rural areas of the state, when you're on the interstate, you're not just driving right beside another car and holding traffic up behind you.
Well, it drives me crazy.
It's awful. It's awful. So this will give the law enforcement a definitive tool when they see that happening.
One of the things that an ALEA person pointed out to me is that the most dangerous time on the highway is when you're changing lanes.
That's correct.
And so if you're in the right lane and you're staying there and you're moving into the left lane and then moving back into the right lane, there's a danger element to that. So you may actually inadvertently be creating some more wrecks.
That's possible because you have blind spots and that kind of thing. But I think the grander picture is when you have all this congestion and backup and the wrecks that's causing now. And they're actually pretty significant because people try to get in too big of a hurry and do things.
Well, and what he said to me is that one of the problems you have is you have two cars driving side by side, four cars behind them. Something happens to one of the two cars in front.
That's right.
They slam on brakes and you end up rear-ending them,
yeah.
And everybody gets rear-ended.
We call that the big one at Talladega.
The big one.
The big one.
I like that. So do you think the likelihood of this passing will be?
I think it's pretty likely. The vote in the House was pretty
substantial.
Strong.
65-2.
Yeah, I have it right here somewhere. 61-24.
So, anyways, and see how they maintain this law. Let's go to the phones and go to Chad. Chad, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Clyde Chambliss.
I think it's a worthless law. Let me tell you two reasons why.
Please.
Number one, not enforceable. It's not practically enforceable because there aren't any. And it's related to number two. There's not enough state troopers, all right? So I drive a lot around the state and across the state, you know, Dan. And I don't see that many troopers here. I certainly don't see any troopers who are going to be able to actually witness somebody staying in a lane too long in order to pull them over and give them a ticket. In fact, that would be more dangerous, in my opinion. I'm as frustrated as you are, as everybody else is, about people driving in the right or driving in the left lane slow. But let me tell you a little story about what happened to me about 2 weeks ago coming back from North Carolina. I'm south of the airport in Atlanta. I'm in the left lane. I'm doing about 77. So I'm speeding already, right? But so is everybody else. But I got cars in front of me. I have a girl in back of me decide that she's going to take an evasive maneuver because she's getting mad. She's getting road rage, which, of course, I can't go anywhere. She tries to go around me. Then she comes in front of me, and she brake checks me twice and about causes a wreck, right? It was one of those happy endings, though, because about 10 miles down the road, a Clayton County sheriff's deputy caught her because she was driving erratically. But, you know, I certainly understand the purpose of the bill. I think it would be better just to spend the money on the signs that say, you know, change your lane, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it's going to be about as enforceable as the 50-mile-an-hour speed limit coming into downtown Montgomery. You hardly ever see anybody stop for going 60. You may, if they're going 75 or 80, they'll get caught, you know, by, you know, the local police who are up there on the interstate. But I just don't see, given the lack of manpower in our state troopers, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we are really understaffed state trooper-wise.
We are understaffed. We added 30 state troopers the year before last, 30 troopers last year, and the governor's proposed budget and what passed the House has 50 new state troopers in it. So we're moving.
But how many are you losing in attrition?
No, those are new positions.
Okay.
In addition to existing.
But you could double it, though, couldn't you, Senator?
We could triple it or quadruple it and maybe still not have enough. But that doesn't mean that we just don't do anything. We've got to continue to move forward.
I don't propose that you don't do anything. But just, I mean, I don't very often listen. I was listening to the lady laughing about it. I don't often agree with her positions on anything. But in order for a trooper to give a ticket, he has to witness the incident, right? And I just don't see anybody. If I see a trooper in back of me and I'm in the left lane and I'm going slow, I'm going to get over.
Well, the converse of that is right now he can witness it and do nothing about it. So we're going to give him a tool to do something about it.
Yeah, I think so. But I just don't think it's a panacea. I mean, it's just nibbling around the edges.
Yeah,
I mean,
nobody said it was a panacea. It's not going to solve it.
No, no. And I think one of the more frustrating things is it seems that we have two types of people on the road. The people who want to go 50 miles an hour in the left lane, and the people that want to go 100 miles an hour in the left lane. That's not a good mix. Anyway, good to talk to you.
Well, we need you to go to South Carolina's model and use the airplanes.
They
ticket people all the time with the aircraft.
Oh, yeah. Once you get to Lake Hartwell, if you're going 6 miles over, you're going to get it.
Yeah. You better keep an eye on the sky, because seriously, once you get to Anderson and you're heading towards Greenville and Spartanburg, they're all over the place. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I guess they just give the signal to the guys on the ground saying, hey, clock this guy going 78, whatever it was.
Yeah, so they catch you at the next overpass.
All right, y'all be good.
See you, Chad. News 93.1, Demo Show, Jeff Bowe coming back to you right after this.
Jay and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees.
From our super secret studio that now has TV cameras and lights in it, it's the Health and Wealth Show. Now, here's your host, the guardian of your greenbacks. It's David Ernest.
Hello, everybody. This is Rusty with Health and Wealth Radio.
Oh, wait a minute, David. You're not Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I know I'm not Rusty.
My bad. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. This is Rusty with Health and Wealth Radio. we are going to be on television.
On ABC 32.
So tune in or call me at 279-7431 for all your financial needs.
And don't forget the Health and Wealth Radio Show, weeknights at 7 p.m. right here on News Talk 93.1 WACV. And watch for us on TV on ABC 32. David's the pretty one.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dog is man's best friend. And while you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and Best Friends Pet Resort are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Best Friends Pet Resort. We're here when you can't be. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can from Blue Water Broadcasting and Best Friends Pet Resort.
For more information on the Paw It Forward Pet Drive, go to newstalk931.com.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. Boy, glad you had a bank full of calls here, buddy.
Well, let's get after it.
Let's do it. Let's go to Bo. Bo, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Clyde Chambliss.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Dan.
Sure.
Mr. Chambliss, I just want to know first, who is the brain trust of the name of this bill?
I don't know the answer to that.
It's akin to the Patriot Act, which is one of the most unpatriot acts that's ever passed in this country. But a couple of comments I wanted to make is, truly to me, the driving slow or driving just say the speed limit in the passing lane is not a problem as big as cell phone and texting and all the distracted driving in the state. And have you ever seen what happens when a state trooper or sheriff, deputy, or whatever pulls a car over on the interstate? It backs up traffic for miles because nobody else, you know, first they have to be cautious because if you're over in that lane, they can ticket you for being in the lane that they're writing the ticket up on. And there's other things. I mean, it's just a nightmare on the highways when a state trooper pulls somebody over, especially in high traffic areas like Birmingham, Mobile, and different areas like that. So, I mean, you know, we've got other issues like people with these straight pipes on their vehicle coming by. I had one earlier come by me. It was so loud, no lie. I thought my windows was going to bust. But things like this, this seems like an asinine bill in my opinion.
All right. Appreciate your comments. There's also a bill working through the process dealing with the distracted driving. And I would think, I'm pretty sure that the loud pipes, that's already on the books as illegal. So I don't know how they enforce it and that kind of thing, though.
But I really think we have other driving on the highway issues. I mean, I know like 18-wheelers, when they try to pass, you know, some of them may be like a couple of miles faster than the other truck. And they'll tie lanes up for miles. But, I mean, you know, other than that, I think isn't there already laws or rules or signs that say slower drivers, you know, keep to the right or something like that?
There are signs, and I think there are probably ways that troopers can, write tickets, but this will make it definitive and make it, I think, more enforceable than, and they can probably, like, impeding traffic or, you know, I'm not sure of all the ways that they can write those tickets. But
let me, Joe, we got a telephone call from a state trooper. Would like that?
There was one, and I just pulled it up. Essentially, can write a ticket called it for extreme left, and I'm reading from Fox 10 down in Foley Gulf Shores area. This is from last year. It says it's a real law listed in Alabama Code 32577, with real consequences. It says you are only allowed to use the far left lane for passing. Failing to do so could result in a $235 ticket, putting 2 points on your license. In 2017, troopers in the southwestern corner of the state wrote 29 tickets for driving the far left lane. And so far in 2018, they've already written 23. And
so we're saying that there actually already is a law then.
Right.
This law is in that same area of the code, 32580. And this one, I assume, just makes it more definitive as far as driving in the left lane than the other ones.
$235 ticket is a pretty hefty ticket.
Indeed.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Bo. Appreciate you. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Clyde Chambliss, Senator.
Yes, I was going to piggyback off of that. You also have impeding the flow of traffic and improper lane usage that can be written for that.
Yeah, that's what that's what we were saying a minute ago, that they could do that. But this just makes it very, very definitive and more enforceable.
So it's just something else, another law to put out there to abuse the public, basically.
No, actually the public is crying for this bill. I get calls and emails.
Well, the public was also crying for the gas tax.
I get calls and emails all the time about this issue, and the public is wanting this bill.
And the public was also crying for the gas tax, correct?
Some were, some were not.
No, no, okay. All right. Well, have a good day, guys.
Thanks. Let's go to Fred. Fred, welcome to the Damo Show.
Hey, guys. Clyde, I'm here to tell you right off the bat, thank y'all for coming up with that. I'm about to go crazy listening to these people call in about this. Not enough troopers and all that. Got to have something to fight with. These idiots on the left lane, the biggest thing is getting these signs up for these people have to be re-educated on how to drive it on the interstate.
Yeah, I was driving on the interstate the other day, and it was three lanes, and then a car comes off of the ramp and for no reason whatsoever goes straight to the left lane right in front of me. It was like,
it goes from the far right to
far
three
right
over
to far left. There was no place to turn for miles and miles and miles. I have no idea what they were thinking.
See, let me tell you how severe I am, Clyde. I think there should be an IQ test to drive.
Yeah.
Anybody at 100 or below, you can't drive.
And driving in the left lane ought to be the first question I ought to ask. Is it okay to drive just right along the left lane like you ain't got nothing better to do? And on top of that, let them have a cell phone in their hand and be doing that. You pull up beside them and they're doing that. If you finally get around them, boy, that just infuriates me. Clyde, thank you for, man, I'm trying to encourage you after all these people calling in saying, bad bill, bad bill. At least it gives them something to fire at them with.
Well, thank you, Fred. I have had people who've contacted me about it and make it a big issue. So, you know, in a setting like this, you don't always hear both sides. So I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you got two texts. If it will solve the problem, it'll be great. But will it solve the problem? Let's go to the phones and go to Smokey Otis. Smokey Otis, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
And Senator Chambliss, thank you for coming on here and, you know, speaking with us about the issues out there. We really do appreciate it. We find a lot of information in it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you and appreciate y'all calling in and, you know, giving me your viewpoint. It's important.
I would like to kind of change the subject a little bit and talk just a second about House Bill 243. That has to do with medical marijuana in the state. I just wonder what your thoughts are, what your projections are, maybe it passing, and when it might come up for a vote.
I'm not familiar with that particular bill yet. I will say in general terms that I have an open mind to this because of the things that I've read in news stories. And obviously when the bill gets to me, I'll do even more research and really, really study it out. But I'm approaching it with an open mind.
Are you for any type of bill that has growing your own marijuana?
No recreational, no growing your, nothing like that. Not
even for medical purposes?
Well, I think you have to. I don't know the answer to that just yet.
Because the Ball bill had that in there, and that's what even Mike didn't even know that it was in there.
Is that right? I think you have to be in very, very controlled circumstances and situations. I'll take a close look. I'm objective mm-hmm. about it. But the devil's in the details a lot, a lot of bills. Right. And you got to see what the language says and what it allows. And it's not something that I'm just like jumping up and down, yeah, let's go do this. But if it can help people that can't be helped otherwise, I think it's my duty to at least take an objective look at that.
Well, we appreciate that. And I hate that they did add the growing and selling and that type of stuff.
That's what kills that bill every time.
That's what I'm afraid of, Dan, and I wish that somebody would, argue against that section of it and maybe redo the bill, reword the bill. I believe that there's some benefits to it, but I don't like the way the bill is written.
Yeah, it really matters what the words are on the paper.
Smoking notice, thank you very much, Patty. Let me go to Burton. Burton, you're on with Senator Clyde Chambers.
Dan, how you doing?
I'm really good.
Well, good. My complaint is, y'all already asked my complaints on about the trucking, but my biggest complaint is the incoming traffic bump to the road, and then when somebody goes or wants to pass you and come you around, when they put that blinker on, you better be very careful because they're going to pull right in front of you and you got to put on brakes. They don't go enough distance between the car. They just pull over right in front of you.
Yeah, I would assume that they could be ticketed for failure to yield right away or some section like that. Because I've seen people do that. Just because you turn the blinker on doesn't mean you have the right of way.
That's right.
It has to be clear for you to make that that lane change.
Yeah, they think a blinker is a warning.
No, that's not the way it works.
Burton, thanks for the telephone call. Let me go to a break. Jeff, Tom, hang on. I'm going to be right back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump today taking to Twitter saying he is once again considering a plan to target opponents of his border policies by placing captured illegal immigrants in sanctuary cities.
This after the White House released a statement saying the plan was briefly considered, then dropped. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, whose district could be affected, says the president is using humans, including children, as political pawns.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. The acting defense secretary is looking at how the Pentagon and military can help with the migrant issue along the nation's southern border.
Patrick Shanahan tells reporters at the Pentagon that he's been having regular conversations with the Department of Homeland Security.
I expect an increase in support.
But Shanahan wouldn't say anything about how large of a deployment or for how long or in what role.
Fox's Evan Brown. This
is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Blue Haven Pools. Building and designing an amazing new smart pool is just a click away. Learn more about smart pools that are virtually chemical-free by visiting bluehaven.com.
Rich Thomas Weather!
Hi, everybody. Look for another relatively quiet day today. It's going to be warm with a high temperature up to about 83. Can't rule out an isolated thunderstorm later on this afternoon or tonight, but the chances are very small. In fact, even tomorrow, there'll be some widely scattered storms around, but a lot of towns will stay dry. A breezy, warm day tomorrow. Saturday's high around 83. Scattered thunderstorms Saturday night and in through the overnight hours. Then a risk of severe weather beginning early on Sunday. In fact, maybe even pre-dawn in the western counties and spreading eastward through the morning and the afternoon hours with damaging wind gusts and the threat of tornadoes as well. Please get our weather app on your phone or tablet now. It's going to be your best friend. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Instant push notifications for severe weather alerts and advanced interactive radar as well. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I had a question for you. Senate Bill 23 on the police jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Where are you on that?
As introduced, I'm opposed to it.
What's wrong with it? And we know what you're going to say, but I want the audience to hear this.
Well, what's wrong with it is one size fits all for every situation in the state. And every city, every county has different situations. It's evolved over different periods of time, different ways. So the chair, Senator Holly of Governmental Affairs, appointed me and Senator Roberts as a committee to study this because we have background in city government. Senator Gudger is also helping us with it. Senator Elliott, who introduced the bill, he's a former county commissioner. So we all have city and county background, and we have actually come up with a compromise that we're going to have in committee on Monday. And that compromise would be that we freeze police jurisdictions where they are right now.
Really?
They just freeze. You don't expand them, you don't contract them, they just freeze. We would also bring the planning jurisdiction that's 5 miles back to that same line. So there's no confusion about, let's clean that up. And then as cities grow over time, they will grow their way out of a police jurisdiction. And that would be the way it is unless there's a mutual agreement between the city and county. They can mutually agree to do whatever they want to, and this will not apply. But if they don't have a mutual agreement, this is the way we would see it going forward. So we'll see where it goes. There's still a lot of details.
You'll say that on Monday or
Tuesday? Yes.
Tuesday, okay. Mm-hmm. It will be on the floor on Tuesday?
No, in committee.
Okay.
So there may be some scenarios that we don't even catch, that jurisdiction will call us and say, hey, that's going to hurt me because. So we'll continue working through it and kind of see where we go. The police jurisdictions and planning jurisdictions have been very just difficult. There's always, does the city regulate? Does the county regulate? And the way that this bill would be is that cities would regulate the PJ, counties would regulate outside the PJ, and you go to one or the other, not both.
Let's go to the phones to go to John. John, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show with Clyde Chambliss.
Hey, Dan. How are y'all today?
Excellent.
Hey, I've actually got a question for Clyde. I drive a tow truck, and I'm on the roads a lot, and I see a lot of traffic, and I'm on the interstate a lot, too. And pretty much, I want to ask about the safety and, about a law or something we can put into effect, to protect us while we're out there, because people, even with police officers, sometimes they won't slow down and they won't move over, and it's, I understand they can't be everywhere all the time and, or anything like that. But I mean, is there something that can be come up with that, that could help us, make people slow down and move over when we're on these highways and interstates?
Well, I thought the law is that if a state trooper is either doing a wreck or a pullover, that you've got to get into the far lane from there.
They don't pull over for the troopers or the ambulances. They won't move out of the way. That's what I'm saying. I mean, is there something we can go a little higher that
would get this through people's heads that, hey, you can't do this, because, I mean, they're just, they're ignoring it out there.
Well, we passed that law, I think it's a couple years ago, and it takes time to modify people's behavior. And I'm not on the roads as much as you, but I have seen where it's starting to really have an effect, and people are starting to do that. But we're not there yet, so I'm not disagreeing at all with you. The other thing that we're doing, I can't remember the status of this one, but is adding, instead of just state troopers and just paramedics or fire, that we would add any vehicle that has cautionary type lights, like a tow truck, like a construction vehicle, anything with the flashing lights, that you would have the same requirement to move over. And it's going to take some time for the public to be educated about that. But I have seen some effort in folks in starting to obey that law, and I think it is a good thing, and when it gets fully implemented and people are really doing it, it'll be very, very helpful.
All right. I do appreciate that. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, John. Thank you. Appreciate your telephone call. Be safe out there, buddy. Let's go to the phones and go to Jeff. Jeff, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey there, gentlemen. Well, first, I'd like to thank you, sir, for exposing yourself to us out here on radio, because a lot of
Don't use that terminology.
a lot of politicians don't have the courage to do so we appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Sometimes we'll agree, sometimes we won't, and yep. That's okay. That's the way the system works, and it's fine.
Well, I'm glad you are introducing this bill, because I do think it will help with the flow of traffic and safety, but I don't think that it is actually practical to enforce. Anyone in their right mind is going to get over if a trooper is following you for a mile, so the mile and a half will kind of go to the wayside. But I would like to see this in the traffic education books as a common courtesy, because if we can reach the young people and give them some statistics, I think over time it would make a huge difference.
Sure, and education is always part of the solution. And if you can educate younger drivers that this is a law, I think it has more effect on their behavior. Whereas if you just say, this is a courtesy and you should do this, you know, some are going to do it, but then some are saying, well, you know, it's not a law. I ain't worried about that. And the other part about troopers is, you know, if it's a person that is paying attention and sees a trooper behind them and they move over, well, then that's a win. You know, we've modified their behavior. But what we're going to see, and what I see, is a lot of times it's somebody on their cell phone, they're doing something, they're just not paying attention. So I would imagine there will be instances, and not the large percentage, but there will be instances where people, a trooper will follow them 2 or 3 miles, and they still won't notice the trooper behind them.
If you introduce a large public campaign to get the word out there, I think you'll see that there will be more people conforming than not. But it's going to take a while, and we need to engage the young people.
It will, and it's my understanding that the DOT is committed to helping with that education process.
All right. Thank you, sir. Y'all have a good weekend.
Thanks for the telephone call. Appreciate it. Payday loan bill. Let's listen to the story.
Payday lending is also back on the calendar at the legislature, that after multiple unsuccessful bids to reform Alabama's short-term loan practices. This bill would close loopholes in the current law and extend repayment terms. WSFA 12 News reporter Jennifer Horton explains.
Most consumers find their way to a payday lending agency by way of difficult circumstances. Today, lawmakers rallied support for legislation that would give borrowers 30 days to repay the loan versus the current 10 to 14-day repayment schedule.
In doing so, it lowers the APR from in excess of 450% to down to a little over 200%.
The bill would specifically help those who fall into the debt cycle, forced to take out loan after loan to make the repayments. Alabama has the third highest concentration of payday lenders in the nation. If this bill passes, the impact would be immediate.
The very least we can do is to ensure that an out-of-state industry is not treating our people's hardships as a cash cow.
The Alabama Banking Department shows residents pay more than $100 million in fees to out-of-state predatory lending companies every year.
We need to pass this legislation so we can make sure that the least of these in the state of Alabama are taken care of, that the least of these have a fair shot.
Lawmakers believe these loans do have a place.
You have to use these loans in the right way. As I've always said, you don't take a taxi to Atlanta. There's a time and a place to use a taxi cab. and there's a time and a place to use a payday loan.
This legislation has bipartisan support from lawmakers and nonprofits, ranging from the State Baptist Convention to the SPLC.
The average annual percentage rate for predatory loans in Alabama is, get this, 300%.
Clyde, how are you in that?
I am definitely of the mind to do something to help this situation. 300%, that's just unconscionable. That's taking advantage of the situation. But we have to be careful that we don't go too far. You know, we've got to take baby steps to get where we need to be. You know, you're not trying to wipe this industry out, because there's a population that needs this type lending. But I like the option that's being discussed, that has been discussed in the past, of a 30-day type note instead of the shorter notes that just perpetuates the cycle as well.
Well, it's also the fee that is being thrown in as an interest, and that's
what, every time they have to renew it, that fee, and that's what really makes the effective interest rate up there.
Because there is a need for it, or it wouldn't exist.
That's right.
Let's go to the phone, so let's go to Clint Jr. Clint Jr., welcome aboard.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, and you?
Great. I drive a tow truck, and I deal with that highway traffic every day, and a good thing to have with people getting over for us is the same way that they do a cop. People do not get over for tow trucks at all. It puts us and the customers' lives in danger. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, we had mentioned that a minute ago. I'm not sure of the status of that, but that's a bill that we are considering, have considered, to include all flashing lights, whether it's a tow truck, an ambulance, a fire truck, flashers on a regular vehicle. It doesn't matter. If it's a flashing light, then you would be required to go to the other side of the road.
That would be nice. I've had too many close calls on the highway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People need to slow down and move over and make sure that everybody gets home safely.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Clint Jr. Be safe out there, buddy. Let me go to Mary. Mary, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Clyde Chambliss.
Thank you, Dan. Senator Chambliss, I am interested in the removing the tax from our food and leaving the tax on every corn syrup product.
Well, we are of
what do you have against corn syrup products?
we are of a similar mind. The way I say it is a little bit different. I think we should remove tax on raw meats, fruits, vegetables, and leave it on Twinkies and candy bars. I don't have a problem with paying tax on those things. But the healthier foods and things that we need, our bodies need for a healthy life, I think we definitely need to eliminate tax on those items. The problem is you're looking at $150, $160 million, so you have to replace that somehow, some way. But there's more of a move now than I've seen in quite a while, and I think we'll figure it out and find a way to do it.
Okay. Well, let me suggest this. One way to find the money would be to put an excise tax on corn syrup products, and that would be all of our soft drinks, candy, cookies, all of that.
There has been discussion about that before, but when you single out one industry like that, it usually doesn't get off the ground.
Well, I know the lobbyists are strong against, you know, that type of thing.
Well, it's not just the lobbyists. It's the people who are in that industry that make their living from that industry. They're the ones who get the lobbyists to work for them. Lobbyists just don't go and work for or against things. They're working for people who are for or against things. So there's a pretty strong lobby of people who would want it just to stay like it is, because that's where their livelihood comes from. So it's not just some nebulous lobbyists out there doing that.
But like to walk into a Dollar Tree or a Dollar General or a Walmart, and for there to be a special section for just corn syrup products. Now, this is the insulin that's getting, the all of the news right now, where there's been such an increase. But when we tax the things that are not good for our bodies, and put a
put an excise tax on it. And then no tax on all the things you just mentioned. You know, the good fresh things.
Well, when you say something's not good for you, is that, do you not say a personal liberty that that person gets to make a decision whether it's good for them or not?
No, no, no. This is all a fact. It's all medical fact. That the body is
just unknown. That's not the point. My point is, on a liberty basis, doesn't the person have the liberty to make that decision?
But we aren't taking it out of the stores. We're just putting
You're penalizing them for making a decision that you don't like.
That's not good for the body.
But that person can decide that. I mean, not exercising is not good for the body.
Tobacco. We're doing it on tobacco. We're doing it on alcohol.
Yeah, and
let's do it on corn syrup products.
Well, because there's a big difference between corn syrup and tobacco. Do you not see that?
I'll go back to alcohol. I mean, you know, I believe
there's a big difference between alcohol and corn syrup.
Uh-huh. But we would not lose our food dollar tax if we took no tax on the good food and then heavy tax.
Okay.
A little extra.
Thanks, Mary, for the telephone call. Appreciate you. Got to go to a break. News Talk 93.1. Final segment of the Dan Moore Show. We'll be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. Creating a stylish, relaxing outdoor retreat for friends and family to enjoy time together can increase the appeal and value of your home. My friends at Southern Homes and Gardens offer many options for outdoor furniture in styles and prices for all budgets. In fact, Southern Homes and Gardens has the largest selection of quality outdoor furniture in the region. I'm talking about handcrafted furniture with rust-free, UV-resistant materials that are durable and timeless designs made to withstand the elements for years. Don't waste your hard-earned money on what's perceived as the lowest price in town, as it will end up costing you more in the long run. Quality outdoor furniture is a smart investment that not only enhances your home's value and curb appeal, but it will give you and your family years of enjoyment. Call 334-387-0440 or southernhomesandgardens.com.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Okay, final segment, guys. Then I'm out of here. My weekend is going to start. Heading down to a tour of the Harriet 2 and meet with Lainey. Real quick before I go to Tom, anything we need to be worried about coming up this week?
The legislature's in session.
Run!
No, the legislature, you know, sometimes we get a bad rap, but there are a lot of good men and women there that are there putting their heads down, doing a good job, and unfortunately that doesn't make exciting news, so you don't hear a lot about that. But I've been very, very pleased in meeting so many men and women that are there doing a good work.
Let's go to the phones and go to Tom. Tom, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, how you doing, Dan? I'd like to ask the guest a question. Does the casino still pay a, I heard one time, this has been a while back, I don't know that they pay more now, one time it was $60 million they paid to the state of Alabama. Do they still pay that type or maybe more by now? That's been years ago.
Not to my knowledge.
They don't pay anything.
Well, if they paid the state in some kind of revenue for... I must have been dreaming. They paid them... You know,
there was a grain track. Hang on. Let me try to answer your question. There's a grain track lawsuit that they had not paid sales tax to the state or to Greene County, and the state came in and said, I think it was $12 million.
I don't know.
And they sued them for it, and it's still in litigation.
Okay. All right. One other question to him. Let me ask you this: did y'all ever sign a bill that prostitution is legal in the state of Alabama?
And so, how did that get by you, guys?
No, I don't think that's past the legislature.
Would you sign it? Would you sign it?
No, sir.
Okay, well, why is it legal at the casinos?
Prostitution isn't legal at the casinos.
Oh, well, go out there sometime, buddy, and you can see.
You said, operative word there, Tom, was legal.
Go out, all you got to do is...
Tom, the operative word there is legal.
That it is legal?
No. You said you're implying that it's legal now out of the casino. It's not.
Just because it's illegal doesn't mean people don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom, I mean, it goes on out there. But anyway, y'all have
thanks for the riveting conversation, Tom. Let me quickly go talk to Jason. I want you to consider that bill, Clyde.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good. Very good. Good. We're short of time here.
Hey, Mr. Chambers, I just wanted to get your position on getting a lottery here. I know you were talking about the idea of taking taxes off of certain food items and basically the budget hole that would leave. I think if we got a lottery, we could fill that hole and it would accommodate doing something like reducing taxes on food. And I want to get your opinion on it, but also your take on the likelihood that it would happen in this next legislative fight. Thank you.
I think the likelihood is 50-50. This issue is far, far more complicated than what the general public thinks it is. My particular position is that, number one, a lottery is a poor way to fund government.
Funding government with a vice.
It's just a poor way to do it. We know from other states that the ills that come with it far outweigh the revenues over a long period of time. Not initially. Initially, it is a cash to input to the state. So it's not my favorite way to fund government. I will say that I'm open if there's a really, really good bill that I might could support it. I'm just not sure. It depends.
Jason, thanks for the telephone call. I'm out of time here. There's going to be a replay show. Have you talked to anyone that has actually talked to the Bureau of Indian Affairs about what would happen with the Poarch Creek Indians if we could do lottery?
I have not, but I've heard mixed reports about that. Some would allow it to expand. Some say it don't, so I don't know.
Yeah, somebody needs to pick up the phone and call somebody.
I don't think anybody's going to get a straight answer on that.
They can pick them up and call them. Maybe I can get Donald Hodel for them. Joey, thanks for a great show.
Good show.
Clyde, thank you for being in here today, buddy.
Thank you.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All righty.
Thanks. Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back on Monday at 12 o'clock.